back in this interview.
All right. Joe and Mike, and yeah, is it Jesper or Jesper?
Jesper.
Jesper. We're back, buildassetsonline.com. And I have a very, very special lesson for you guys. Today, we're going to be talking about how to rank your high ticket dropshipping products and collections in position one of Google. Now, if you've been following us for any sort of period of time, you know that Mike and I, when it comes to high ticket dropshipping, we use ads, we use long tail blog articles, and these have been our primary methods of building our high ticket dropshipping businesses that we turn around and flip and sell and what have you. But I have been hungry, on the hunt, searching for knowledge on how do you take a product that is in position 5, 6, or on the second page, or a collection that's sitting, you know, low on the first page or in the second page of Google, and how do you get that to position one? Because if you think about it, if you control the ad, if you control Google Shopping, and then you control the text ads, and then you control the organic listings in Google, you know, you're taking up a lot of spots on the monopoly board. So if you can control these three areas, then you're going to be doing well, especially if you have a supplier or a product that you know is high margin, they're a good supplier. And that's why we brought Jesper on. So welcome to the show, Jesper. We're going to be going deep into some pretty hardcore SEO strategies. So buckle up. So Jesper, why don't you introduce yourself real quick? I thought I read on the website you're a physicist. Is that true?
Yeah, that's perfectly true. Well, I live in Denmark, and I used to study theoretical physics in the Niels Bohr Institute in Copenhagen. And quantum mechanics, I studied for 10 years. And once I graduated, I got a job in the IT industry. So I've been in the IT and web industry for 20 years now. And I started my first agency, web design agency, in 2008. But I was doing a web design before that. So I have more or less 20 years of experience in the web design department and SEO departments.
So if you can understand the nature of the universe via quantum mechanics, the nature of Google SEO should be pretty simple to you, relatively, right?
Yeah. Well, if only it was.
what's harder to understand?
I think that probably Google, actually. Yeah. Because it's the problem is that, you know, in physics, the laws of nature doesn't change.
Yeah.
The laws of
difference, yeah.
Yeah, it changes all the time. It's actually kind of like quantum mechanics, because once you observe something, it changes. That's all how Google works.
Yeah, that's like that's the Schrodinger's cat, right? Or something. I know the basic normie quantum mechanics things.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
All right. So we're gonna get into it right away. Let me just get my screen. So Jesper, you are a specialist in what's called cloud stacking. And cloud stacking, as we're going to get into, is a technique that we can use to bolster up our product and category pages on our high ticket dropshipping store. Now, I have been looking and trying to figure this out, because all the techniques that I've used so far, like link building, regular link building, guest posting, even like on-page optimization, to really bolster specific pages, I got to tell you, like, it doesn't work that well. It's had very diminishing returns over the years. And so explain to me what cloud stacking is and, you know, how we can use it for this purpose.
Okay, so first of all, so what I've been seeing for the last couple of years is that the way that Google is updating and changing the algorithm is they're trying to put focus on high authority websites. So, and we've been seeing that over the last couple of years. So that's also why link building is a little bit more. It's more difficult now to get to actually see changes from building links, because the links that you can typically get are not from high authority domains. If you're buying PBN links, or if you're buying guest posts or links like that, it's not super duper high authority domains. Right. And this is why cloud links come in, because the cloud links are it's HTML pages that you upload to subdomains on the high authority domains. So let's take a DA95 domain like Google or Microsoft Azure or Amazon, some stuff like that, domains like that. They have domain authority in 93, 95, something like that. And you can actually create a free account in Amazon, go in, upload an HTML website to a subdomain in Amazon, and that subdomain instantly have the authority of the mother domain. Not the entire authority, of course, but it inherits authority from the mother or father domain.
Mm-hmm.
So what you then do is you put your article on this website, you place a link in the article to whatever you want to boost, and that's basically what a cloud link is.
So, you know, for people that are not familiar with all these terms, I tried to draw a little example here. So say you have an Amazon S3 link. It's not exactly going to look like this. I forgot what the actual URL structure is.
Something
like that, yeah. It would be something like this, where it's like mystore.amazon.s3, where you created a subdomain on there. And it would be, you know, the Google Cloud one would just be like, cloudapi.google.com/mystore. So yeah. Something like this. So it's something that you can create on these these authoritative domains.
Yeah.
You know.
So for people listening, what do Amazon, S3, Google Cloud, IBM Cloud, like what are they typically used for in a traditional use case?
Well, the traditional use case is that you sign up for your Amazon account or your Google Cloud account or your Microsoft Azure account, and you use these buckets to store. You could use them to store websites or store folders, files, or you know, images or storage. It is storage, actually. That's what they're used for. So there's nothing wrong with this. It's not Black Hat or anything like that. But that's the traditional use case. And many years ago, SEO experts found out that, well, what if I upload a website, place links, does that work? It did work, and it still does work.
So think about, like, if you work at a corporate job, that job probably has a bunch of files and documents and pictures and stuff, and they need a place to store them. So a company is going to use Microsoft Azure or Amazon S3 or Google Cloud to put all of their kind of materials into the cloud so the workers can use them. And so this is basically using these cloud sites and creating websites. You can almost think about it for your own little company and using that as a link building tool, let's say.
Exactly.
The interesting thing that I found about this is that you can obviously point these links wherever you want.
Yeah.
So, you know, in the case of a high ticket dropshipping store, you know, Jesper, we might have a structure like this. This is just made up. I don't know if this domain actually exists, but say it's fireplacesusa.com. And then we have these collection pages, which is Fireplace brand. And then obviously they house all these products.
Yeah.
So we can take these cloud links and we can kind of point them to, you know, these collections or these products. So can you explain a bit how that would work? And I know obviously, for those that don't know, Jesper does have a software in the space that makes it much easier than creating HTML sites by hand, which would be a pain. But I guess, can you kind of explain the strategy behind this? And because there's more to it than just pointing the link. I mean, there's a lot that has to be done in terms of like relevance and things like that.
Yeah, exactly. So So what you need to know is that one of the things that Google is looking at when they're trying to determine if it's going to be your product that's going to be shown in the top is, besides, of course, quality content, they're looking at number of referring domains, They're looking at the number of referring IP addresses also. And they're looking at the authority of the domains and IP addresses that are pointing to your website. So you need high authority domains. You need a lot of domains. You need a diversity of IP addresses, because the subdomain that you're creating on Amazon has an IP address. And so that's why we have both Amazon and IBM and Google Cloud and all of, and Wasabi, right, and all of the other guys, is because we need a lot of referring domains to get the diversity so that we get the positive feedback from Google. So the strategy is that you need to upload 5 or use 5 to 10 to 15 different platforms. And, you know, create your HTML websites and then point the links to your website. And what we're typically doing, if it's an e-commerce website, what we're typically doing is we're pointing the cloud links to the category page.
Okay.
Because the authority is so websites that have the links, you know, the Amazon links, they have so much authority that it has turned out to be a very good strategy to target the category pages, because the link building power or link juice will be siphoned out to all of the product pages. So right, in your case, you have fireplace brand one. So let's say we want to boost product one or product two or whatever below, then we would actually target the category page that you are calling fireplace brand one up there. And then the internal linking of your website should actually take care of the rest. So that's what we see. So we are typically monitoring a spread of keywords across the website that we are building links to. So we can actually monitor all the rankings. And that's why I can say with confidence that we can see if we're targeting the category pages, all of the rankings of all the products below this category, they actually get a boost up.
Yeah. Now, is there any sort of, so if you're building to a category page, is it best to have, so you can have a number of different types of category pages. So like in this case, I have fireplace brand one. So this might be like Acme fireplace. Yeah. But then you can have another type of category page, which might be like, or let's say outdoor electric fireplaces. So like, I don't know if I'm wrong here or overthinking this, but like in this case, since it's a totally different like keyword and a different meaning versus like the brand keyword.
Yeah.
And then say this was all the brand's products. If I pointed a cloud stack to here, this more of a generic page, is it still going to pass that kind of relevance to the products themselves, or am I thinking about this wrong?
You have a point, because so what we're doing is we are building topically related mini sites of 7 to 10 pages. That's how we do it. So we are building websites that typically have, let's say, 10 pages. And then we're pointing these websites to, let's say, Acme Fireplace. And all of the content that we have on the cloud sites, the content is very closely related to Acme Fireplace. So what we're seeing is that because of all the entities that we're putting into the contents or related keywords, then all of the products that are related to these keywords, they get a boost. So if you want to boost, in your case, outdoor electric places, for example, you would need to create a new batch of cloud links.
Right.
So the new optimized content related to that category page and to these products.
Well, that's almost what I'm wondering is that, well, first of all, I wanted to ask you, because our audience probably doesn't understand this. What is an entity?
Okay, so an entity is a, in the definition of Google, an entity is a keyword that's related to other keywords in a knowledge graph. And that's also very technical, but I'm sorry, that's how they define it. But it's a name, place, or thing. So the difference between a keyword and an entity is that an entity is a keyword that is related to other keywords. So that's how Google defines, and why. So that's, it seems like a silly definition, because all keywords are related to other keywords.
It's almost like a supporting keyword.
And it's kind of like a supporting keyword. And the reason that Google has, or the reasons that Google is putting so much emphasis on entities now is because they need to be able to understand what it is that we're writing in our websites. And also because they need to be able to battle spam websites. So the thing that the thing with AI and the thing with thing is with spam websites also is that the quality of the language is very poor. At least that's how it is now. The quality of the language is poor. And how do you determine the quality of the language? Well, you can look at the entities. You can look at the related keywords. So if you have fireplace, then you have lighter, you have logs. Isn't it called logs?
Yeah.
And you have all of these keywords that you can use to define what is a fireplace, and heat and house and chimney and all these keywords. And you need these keywords in your content.
Right.
And if you're writing an article, if I'm writing an article, it's not a problem. We're just writing the article. And then we're naturally just putting the keywords in. But if an AI is writing the article, an AI is not yet anyway as proficient in writing as we are. So, yeah.
Right.
Long story about entities.
Well, yeah, I think it depends. I mean, obviously all the different tools vary widely in their capabilities, but it's almost like, people might see this and they might think this is a black hat in a way. But, to me, this is the most white hat thing you could do. Because you're doing Google a favor. You're saying, hey, this is what this is about.
It's not, I mean, all SEO is, you could say that all SEO is black hat. Because every SEO effort that you're doing is you're trying to manipulate the Google search ranking. So your website is, getting the traffic. So,
yeah.
But what you're doing is actually you're enforcing your entity in the internet, in the Google search engine.
Yeah.
So what you're doing is you're putting highly related content on these cloud links. You're pointing to your website. So you are telling Google, my website is about these keywords, these entities, and you can go check out these cloud links that has super high authority, and they agree because they point links to my website. So that's what you're doing.
Yeah.
And so.
Very good. Very good.
Yeah.
So I guess let's get into how would one even build these pages? Because it sounds pretty complicated. Like I mentioned, you have a software that takes care of it, but I want to get into the building process from start to finish. Obviously we're not going to have time to, do a full live training here. I think we're going to be saving that for the future for some of our students that are in our program and helping people we know have existing stores pull this off. But let's kind of get into the basic process of so first you've identified you want to rank this collection page Acme Fireplace. Or let's just say outdoor electric fireplaces to make it a little easier. It starts with keyword, you have to do, there's a research phase.
Yeah, so there's a research phase. So what I would typically do, actually what I'm doing now is I'm actually using ChatGPT-4 for the most of my keyword research. And that's simply because the quality of the list of the keyword that I'm getting is just such a high quality and it's so fast. I mean, what I would typically do is I would ask ChatGPT, give me a list of the 50 most semantically and topically related keywords to my search term. Give me a list of the 50 most semantically and topically related keywords to my search term without description in an unnumbered list.
Yep.
So what ChatGPT then does is that it then provides me with these 50 keywords, and most of these keywords, I would say 90% of these keywords, I could simply take and use and stuff in my content. So the last 5 to 10%, I could, you know, remove those. So that's my key. That's actually basically my keyword phase now. And then I could also use actually ChatGPT to write articles. And I do have the platform called Yext, where we that's a platform that where we use to build these HTML websites, because the end product to upload to Amazon is an HTML website. So it's an actual real life website that looks like a website, it reads like a website, it has images, it has a privacy policy page, it has an about us page, it has everything that characterizes a real website.
Yeah.
So, and to, in order to build an HTML website, if you're going to do that in hand, it would take you days or weeks. So we have the platform that Yext, where we build the websites that I designed. And so I put in the list of entities. I put in the list of the titles for my pages.
4:00 p.m. Yeah.
And then I can ask the AI to do it, or I can compile a long document that I can simply upload and then let the platform take care of the rest.
Right. So you're doing this research phase. You're gathering keywords. You're gathering entities. You're gathering content, and then the software is basically handling the rest. You don't have to be sitting there coding HTML and then uploading it.
No, it's, I mean, if I'm creating a, let's say I'm creating a 10-page website or a 100-page website, I could do that in 5 to 10 minutes, actually. It doesn't have to take longer than that. 15 minutes if I'm slow, but 10 minutes.
Yeah. Cool. So what would you say if someone was going to get started with this? I mean, what would you say, what would you say the learning curve is for someone?
I would say that this strategy, the good thing about this strategy is that it's very effective, and it's for local SEO and for low competition keywords, it's super, super duper effective.
Yeah.
I'm from Denmark, so I have Danish rank and red websites in Denmark, where we rank the websites and we sell the leads here in Denmark. And typically for my Danish ranking websites, all of my keywords, they're in position 1.
Yeah.
In position 2 to 5 or 2 to 9, that's also my properties. It could be cloud links. So position 2, Amazon, position 3, Azure. And then position 4 could be YouTube video, and so on and so forth. So that's the effectiveness. The downside of this strategy is it's probably not for beginners, I would say.
Right. Well, that's what we're going to work on, because you know, I've spent probably a week with Yext now, built a couple stacks.
Yeah.
I think I'm seeing some early results for some test local sites that we're doing.
Yeah.
And I'm going to be working with you to apply it to one of our e-commerce stores. And then once I get that strategy down, to all the people out there, I'm going to teach you next.
Yeah, exactly. It is not for beginners. You need to know what you're doing, and you need to know what you're doing. And so what I'm doing is, my strategy is, I'm building the cloud links, and I'm combining the cloud links with Web2 properties.
Right. So what is a Web2 property?
It could be a free website on Tumblr. It could be a free website on WordPress. It could be a free website, a free Google site. There's something called Google Sites that's also free. So Tumblr, WordPress, Google Sites, that's some of the Web2 platforms that we use. So what I would typically do is, I would say, let's say I have 10 category pages. Then I would actually build 10 cloud sites that mirrors these 10 menu items, these 10 category pages.
Yeah.
And I would actually also place links on, I know we're getting technical here, but place links on Tumblr, WordPress, and Google Sites also to the cloud links also.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. So look, I don't want to get over the top technical, but if someone is watching this and just doesn't want to wait for our future lessons and doesn't want to, say that they just want to get started right away, because there is training inside of Yext, and there's a Facebook group where you can kind of learn, see what others are doing, and just get started, which is what I did. You know, so if someone does want to do that, how they do it, it's yacc.site, right?
Yeah.
So
is that a cloud site?
So if this sounds interesting to you guys and you want to take the leap and get started before we talk about future, talk about our results, and you know, we start to give our training on it, you can go right here, sign up for the software, and get started from there. And there is training inside of the software, but yeah, I still think it's going to take some practice and learning, because the training is a little bit high level. I mean, no offense, but.
Well, actually, no, none taking. Actually, what I do is I normally all new people that subscribe to the platform, I actually provide an hour or two of training in person, you know, one-to-one training, because.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. And you didn't get that. This is my offer to you now. Actually, that's what I offer all new subscribers.
Oh, that's great. That's great. So someone could come to you and say, hey, this is my strategy. You know, this is my aim. Yeah. Teach me how to do this.
Yeah, I do that. Yeah, I do that because I know it's difficult. I've been working on this platform for almost 2 years now. I launched it April last year.
Yeah.
But I've been working on the platform for almost 2 years, and I'm working full time 7 days a week, getting new features. So,
I think that's very valuable. So, you know, what we try to do inside of our program, you know, our program is not, you know, we're not the cheapest program on the internet if you want to learn e-commerce, but we actually do give tons and tons of, probably too much, one-on-one support for people. Yeah. And
you that's know, the way to do it, actually. Yeah.
Yeah. So we, you know, people, we have a very, very probably such a very, very, very small like refund rate or people that are unhappy, because you know we answer their questions inside of our Discord channel, but they get a private channel with us. We do coaching calls when they need, and I think that's why we've had so many successful students. We've had students sell their store for $500,000 just from our basic, you know, because we provide that support at every step of the way. And I think doing it that way is really, really valuable, because you want people to stay on the platform and integrate it into their business.
Exactly. Yeah.
So that's awesome, guys. I mean, I would take Jesper up on that if you're so inclined. So go to yacs.site and sign up there. And hey, he's gonna book a call with you and help you out with your specific business. So hope you guys enjoyed this episode. I don't want to have it go too long, but do you guys have anything else to add?
I think it was pretty concise, and yeah, obviously a lot of technical details. So it's great that Jesper, you know, is willing to help any new person, especially with high ticket dropshipping. Nobody is talking about this. Nobody's really doing this. So it's really a unique opportunity. If somebody wants to give it a try, talk to Jesper.
If I could say one more thing on this, since you brought that no one else do, are you aware of the keyword golden ratio?
Yeah, I heard of the keyword golden ratio. Yeah, I have heard of. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just, so this was probably 4 or 5 years ago at this point, but there was a time when the keyword golden ratio was super, super effective for like Amazon affiliate sites. Okay, so you would just take a keyword like best food processor for almond butter or something so specific and long tail, with not a lot of pages on the internet out there. Mm. And people are using this to good effect with Amazon affiliate sites. But what we did is we took that method and applied it to our dropshipping sites. So instead of making $3 or $4 on an Amazon affiliate sale, now you're making $300 to $1,000 for the same effort, for the same keyword golden ratio page. So, and that was kind of a big breakthrough for us. And it's honestly, it still has a pretty big impact on our business, because we make those kind of sales from those pages all the time. But I feel strongly that this is kind of the next evolution of us taking something that is an SEO concept used primarily for like local stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, showing what else it could do. So I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too. if you want me to do it, I would, as I told you before we started the recording, I'm happy to provide training lessons specifically for your audience. So yeah, it's not a problem at all.
Yeah, that would be awesome. All right, guys, thanks for watching. We'll end it here as to not get it too long. And yeah, you have a YouTube channel as well. People could find you, right? It's just your name, right?
Yeah, it's Jesper Nissen SEO.
I spelled it wrong again. Like N-I- this, right?
Yeah, N-I-S-S-E-N.
Okay, okay.
Yes, cool.
So these are your two sites, and thanks for having, thanks for coming on, Jesper. All right, cool. We'll see you guys in the next one, and take it easy.
Take it easy.